Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged and excited that you have joined us in the Extra Hour. Memory lane is we're talking about some things that happened in the past, and you know, having an adult, you know, fatherless son on a phone, and yet reaching out for the next generation, and it was so cool. A lot of them, Derek was one of the boys that came on to man. Now he's a man. He's a man, and you can find him on the VFN Torch. You know, some of his segments are in highlights of him of sharing. But he's a father now, and got kids and all that amazing stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's got the same smile and all. He was preaching. Mm-hmm. And another young man that was out there. He's a youth minister now. But then he was just a boy. But now he's a man, and he's a youth minister helping young people out and all. And there's all over the world. I remember when, you know, Amber was at IHOP Kansas City, the International House of Prayer, and she sat in a classroom, and she looked at the guy next door in a seat or whatever, and he starts talking to her, and she realizes that he was one of the participants for during the 10-year period of going to the next step, you know, out by Father and Son Camp Trust that we call them. And
amazing.
And it's just touched the world. And you know what? You know, if you're thinking about, you know, is what you're doing for the Lord significant? Nothing you do for God is in vain. Not one thing that you do for Him is in vain.
That's right.
But realize the most effective things that you do, you know, for Him will be the most things that cause you to feel like it's insignificant, because, you know, society itself will make you feel that way. It'll make you feel like, you know, it's not good. And the truth is, it is good. Mm-hmm. It is good. And that's why the enemy's lying. He's a liar, and he's a father of lies. Mm-hmm. So don't believe the lie. For example, when a kid says, "Hey, I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear any kind of wisdom." What they're really saying is like, "My life's falling apart, and I don't want to humble myself, but I need everything that you're saying." Can you say it in a way where it looks like I'm not actually having to listen to you?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, you got to read between the rebellion, right? You know, you think about this, that, you know, we want to talk about in just a minute about what's happening with the United Nations and Iran and all, but take a moment here. Dr. Dobson, he spent his entire life, you know, dedicated to studying the family. When you think about it, I mean, his ministry is called Focus on the Family. I mean, he studied marriage, he studied children, he studied John. And just joking. And I mean, if you're going to get any wisdom on how to raise children, it would be from Dr. James Dobson.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and you think, well, he's gonna, you know, I mean, raising kids. I mean, not just, you know, having tenants called kids in your home. I'm talking about raising kids.
Big difference.
It's a big difference. You know, when you raise corn, that means there is no corn. You plant the seed and you raise it. It comes out of the ground. It produces something. And it's productive. That's called raising corn, right?
Right.
And, you know, there's a big difference in raising children versus having tenants that you tolerate. And it's the hardest thing you'll ever do, because you love, you know, parents love their kids so much, you know. And I've heard some lies about society. You know, they say, you know, society's problem is because it's all because of parents. And it's like, well, really, how could it be that way? I know parents that have tried everything that they could try, you know, a single mother or a single father or double parents. Everybody has an individual will, you know, and they blamed all society's problems on bad parenting.
Mm.
Which explained that person.
Yeah.
to the T. Anyway, and so, you know, you're seeking Dr. James Dawson. He's going to tell us how to raise teenagers, right?
Right.
Now, let's just go buy Dr. Dobson's book and get his DVD. He wrote a book called Bringing Up Boys. He talks about, he said he had this like 20-foot rope, you know, tied to a tree. This is probably something that you would have done.
Probably.
Yeah. But, and he tied it, and he's going to jump out of the tree, and he's going to swing it with this rope, this 20-foot rope. But the problem was, the branch that he tied it to was only 10 foot away from the ground.
Oh my God.
There was a 10-foot differential there. And
obviously, he wasn't melancholy. He didn't measure it first.
He didn't measure at all, you know. I think boys, so young boys, no matter their personality, that frontal lobe is very important. It needs to develop. Mm. You know, you think it, you know, anyway, so, and so here's Dr. Dobson. You know, you're going to find out what Dr. Dobson has to say. I mean, this is going to be the secret, because obviously I must be doing everything wrong. And so I'm going to go talk to the man who studied them. And this is what Dr. Dobson said. I mean, this, all those years, John, everybody, and this is what Dr. Dobson says, right? He goes, the teenage years, just get through them.
Thank you.
Just get through them. I'm like, can you expound on that?
Yeah,
they
really
last longer than that sentence, you know, just get through them. You know, I think about this. You know, it doesn't say, the Bible does not tell us, you know, how old Satan was when he rebelled against God.
Hmm.
But I'm sure he was a teenager. Oh my goodness, it's just real tough. You know, you're trying to find yourself as a teenager, and you're trying to get your own, but you're frustrated because you're still, you know, a suckling on your parents', you know, substance. But then you're saying, I am my own. It's hard to put your foot down when it lands in your parents'. Oh, it's a tough transition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you have a father who loves you, you know, your father, and this is why the father's been emasculated and pulled out, but a father's going to say, well, it's just time for you to grow, boy. He was like,
that's right.
You'll figure it out. Go plant yourself in some dirt. Mm-hmm. You know, because he knows that the kid's going to have to kick in.
That's right.
But there's so many things interfering with the way fathers raise their kids today that you know, what they call safety nets are destroying our children.
Huge.
You know, it would have been better for them to wallow in the mud a little bit, you know, and feed the pigs a little bit. You know, and the consequences of their decisions a little bit, then to run down there and give them a stimulus package so they could live in some place that kept them stuck in the mud, you know, for 10 years of their life. Right?
Yeah. You introduce them to two new friends, Sam and So Knight. Here you go.
Sam's
Sam and So Knight.
You're right. He's like, I'm leaving. Yes, baby, you're leaving. Well, your bags are already at the door, you know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but you know, just helping somebody—that's what God does to us.
Sure,
and that's what God does to us. And it's like, but the devil has so many things into our nation's fabric, and I have a lot of theories about that, and I believe a lot of word of knowledge about that. But we aren't talking about that much. But it's all demonic when it comes time to anything interfering the way the father would raise his daughters and his sons, because God has innately put something inside that father or mother, you know, to be able to impart into them, you know, something that society that doesn't understand how God's designed us, that everything has to die first before it can become something. Everything has to, I mean, even the egg inside of a woman, there is no doorway. It has to fight its way out. There is no, I mean, there's pain. A woman has pain in the process of bringing forth a child. There's the brokenness of life and things that you just learn from that. But if you keep that away from somebody, they never learn. They just stay in this immature suckling state.
Yeah.
And the government just wants to be, replace God. You know, one of the names for God is the breasty one.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, as you begin to cry out for God, provision comes from God. And the government wants to replace God and them to become the breasty one, where,
right,
you know, if you need something, we'll provide for you. If you need Medical will provide for you. If you need provision, we'll provide for you. And all of a sudden, they don't cry out to God anymore.
Sure.
They cry out to government.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it was okay to cry out to God.
Right.
You know, and that's how God's designed things. And you know, a child will never grow up despite them being 50 if they never learn to cry out to God. They never learn to turn to God and cry out. They're just stuck.
Right.
And they've never seen the provision. You talk a mother, a breastfeeding mother, that she could be across her house from a total different room. And as soon as that baby begins to cry, that God's designed the mother's body that instantly she will fill up with milk, ready to feed that baby. Wow. I mean, it just happens.
Wow.
And so the baby gets frustrated sometimes and doesn't nurse. And so she gets frustrated, says, listen, I have provision for you. You're just going to have to line up.
Mm.
And that's how God is. Like, God's going, I'm the one that's giving you the air and the substance. You got to cry out to me, but you can't just get it any way you want it. This is how you receive substance from me.
Mm.
And the mother just gets more provision and more provision, where she starts hurting because so much milk is dropped, because the baby's crying produces provision in the mother. And listen, that's how God is. One of his names, one of the defined names of God, if you look at the definition, it means the breasty one, the provision of God, the substance of God. But you got to line up to get it. You can't just say, throw it over here in my well of rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to line up. If you're crying out to the right source, to God, you know, and going through the blood, which is Jesus's blood, and saying, listen, Lord, I need you. I mean, God's going to provide for you. But if you've provided for your kids every step of the way, now they're like 50, they've never got a chance to cry out to God and find out he's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's such a strategy. You can see what the how the enemy's using the government to take over the role of fathers, to take the role of family, take the role of God in all these different areas, and saying, we'll take care of you.
And because of that different or even become a warped perception, those that begin to take their hands off and allow their young people, the children they've been raising, to grow up and become the men and the women. It's you know, it's time to play the man. It's time to play the woman. It's time to do now. That could almost seem as if that was wrong to those people's eyes. How could you let them suffer? How could you let them suffer? Who in America suffers when you think about it?
Right.
You know, who in America really suffers? You have children that were working so hard so many years ago as young children. You know, even in my own family, my grandmother, I remember stories her telling as a child working on the farms. And it's like no one in America really can say that they truly suffer. We found out that we're in the richest percentile of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it's through that suffering, it's through that going through, like you said, the pain, that we can actually learn.
Yeah.
But if we're looking back and looking for dependence upon a parent or anyone else but God, how are we going to make it?
And you look at the people. You look at the people that's accomplished anything. If you listen to their life story, it consists of them going through pain. They were willing to go through the pain of the process to be able to arrive. I might have, you know, Tim Tebow's book sitting on my shelf, and to remember.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, Brett gave me a picture of Tim when he was praying for the Denver Broncos. Thank you, Brett. He's sitting there to remind me and have his DVD that, I mean, he didn't just happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's dragging tires, trees, pushing cars. I mean, he's aggressively going. I mean, he's got to be willing to tell himself no and tell himself yes at the right times and go through the process of all that. And we celebrate people who paid the price. But we complain when people are trying to encourage other people to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
How can you be trying to help me? You're having me drag a tire. Well, you said you wanted to be a Tim Tebow. You're going to have to drag a tire.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to deny yourself. You know, it's like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe I'm going to have to deny myself. And it's the process.
Yeah. You know, they wrote a book called The Millionaire Next Door several years ago. And the whole idea was to study millionaires. And they wanted to find out, these marketers, these companies hired these marketers to find out, how does the average millionaire think in America? So they just took a person who had a net worth of about $1 million, and they realized some really interesting things, that the average millionaire, the millionaire next door, was a person that actually worked very hard, didn't make this Hollywood money or whatever, this gobs amount of money. They lived below their means. They lived in a house that was below what they could actually afford. They drove American cars that, you know, their credit cards weren't, you know, American Express Black, you know what I mean? But they were actually, you know, just Visas or whatever. They had JCPenney cards and stuff like that. And so they started interviewing them. What they found out was one study was just about first generation people that came to the United States. They became so successful. And what they found out is that here's this working mom or dad who started a business here. They're working hard at their job. They rose the ranks. And now they've accumulated all this wealth. And yet they instead encouraged their children to do the very same thing that they did. They started buying them cars and sending them to colleges and propping them with all this, you know, stuff, thinking that that's how they're going to, you know, do well. And what they did was, you know, bring a dependent, you know, next generation. And so next generation is totally dependent on the parents that came on over, and is thinking, you know what? That's not how it needs to be. You know,
and now the government's saying, listen, as a matter of fact, you know, all the way up to the age 25 now, you can be on your parents' insurance policy. And it's like, he's married and he's got three kids and he's a soldier in Afghanistan. Why does he need to be, you know, right, that type of thing? It's like,
serious.
You're not grown up by 25. Come on.
Dude, it's half of 50.
Yeah, it's half of 50. And you look at our generations past, I mean, you know, that's half life.
Exactly.
You know, and it's like, it's a strategy. It's a strategy for nobody to ever grow up. Nobody ever to cry out to God, and everybody to be kind of stuck in God not being the provider, but someone else being the provider for what's.
Yeah, the scriptures say that the laborer's appetite works for him. It drives him on. It's nothing like being hungry and needing to work. You know what I'm saying?
Previously on the VFN radio program.
Speaking of that, I am hungry this morning. I don't know what it is.
Well, don't forget you found what you lost before. Just keep it going. Keep it going. You're doing good.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. I'm reminding you. You know, you remind me.
Well, you know, I did. I had my my shake this morning.
Did you?
Yeah, I kind of.
Some of it.
That's coffee.
Oh.
He mixes chocolate and coffee
up. I can't tell the difference.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I went to a darker cocoa. I had, this one cocoa. It's like a big. I remember my grandmother years ago, you know, she was cooking and she had this cocoa, you know, and as a kid you're thinking, you know, Nestle's mix or whatever you make chocolate milk with or something. Mm-hmm. There was a day you actually had to take the powder out of a can and put it in your milk and stir it. Now you just buy it already made up. Isn't that amazing? Right. Anyway, so she had this cocoa and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, and she's making a cake or something. And I'm looking over there and she's only like 4 foot something. But I'm like, man, that was like 4 foot of meanness, because she said she's sweet as she can be. She's sweet. She was a welder, by the way, in the ship during the war.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she helped build ships because the men were over fighting wars. So she was a welder during that time. Wow. And she, you know, she's small. And, you know, I may have done this myself as an adult. But anyway, I said, oh, that looks so good. And so she gets a big tablespoon. It was probably a teaspoon. You probably got fit. It's a tablespoon, teaspoon, a spoon, whole heaping spoonful of cocoa, and puts it in my mouth. And I'm thinking, this is gonna be
great.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. I'm like, oh, this is dirt. Actually, my grandfather chewed snuff. I'm like, this is like snuff. This is terrible. I'm like gagging and throwing.
Yeah, you're coughing up.
You're coughing all this stuff up, and it's like, yes, exactly. And then she just looked at me, just kind of smiled, you know. I didn't realize at that time, that was evil.
Yeah, right.
And then she said, don't use wire hangers. No, she didn't. No, she didn't. She was sweet as she can be. Sweet as she can be.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
If you're a Christian and your spouse is not, your marriage may have some unique challenges. This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. Lee Strobel shares how, as a non-religious person, he felt jealous about his wife's faith.
I was jealous of Jesus, because I'd always been the man in Leslie's life. And all of a sudden, there's somebody new in her life, and it's this Jesus person. And all of a sudden, she is committed to following him. Well, what am I all of a sudden, chopped liver? I mean, where do I fit into this? I felt like I was losing her respect because all of a sudden the people she looked up to, the people she started to emulate, were people who had an authentic and a vibrant and a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, I didn't. So what did that say about me?
A spiritually mismatched marriage. That's how Lee describes that season in their lives. Now, it's a tough place to be for either spouse. And if you need to talk with someone about that kind of situation, call the Focus on the Family Counseling Team at 800-A-FAMILY.
We're family. Did you know that? God has called us to be family. We're called to be the family of God. It's Father God. It's not like King God. It's Father God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is our elder brother. Yes, he's our Lord and our Savior, but he's the firstborn. He's the head of the church. He's our elder brother. We are not, we're heirs of God, not heirs of Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus.
That's right.
We're family. We're sisters and brothers. That's why we're supposed to love each other. The family of God. I remember Jesus was sitting around with his disciples in a house, by the way, and he's teaching them about the things of God. Mm-hmm. And his biological mother, Mary, and brother mm-hmm. comes to the house, and they're knocking on the outside of the door. And they said, and of course, they're talking to each other. Mary and her son's talking and says, oh my goodness, Jesus has lost his mind. They really thought Jesus lost his mind.
That's right.
They lost his mind, and he hasn't eaten. He's been a long time since he's eaten. We need to go rescue him. We need to rescue him from his ministry because he's lost his mind. Don't you know this is supposed to happen in a temple, not in a house? And this goes on. And then Jesus, of all the things he said, this is very important. Of all the things he said, you know, somebody comes out and said, yo, your mom was outside. You know? And yo, sir. No, yo, your mom's outside. And so Jesus stops and he pauses. He looks at the disciples and he's talking to them. He says, listen, let me tell you who the family of God is. Mm. Let me tell you who my mother and my brother is. Those who do the will of my Father. Yes. Oh, more than anything, you want your biological family to follow God. But the truth is, you have no control over them. You tell them the truth and you honor their decision. Listen, the true family of God is those who follow his teachings, that have a desire to follow Jesus. See, the church is a family. Get into your, right now where you're at, in your fellowship, say, listen, we need to start being family.
Mm-hmm.
And if people just still relate to you like sand, like organizations, like an orphanage, you know, just get your food, sit down, shut up, don't know nobody. Listen, find a fellowship that functions as family. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Maybe there's a church in your area. Maybe God has planted in your heart. So you know what? I want to begin this in my own city. Check it out. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.
Go to VFNTV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio you're listening to. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFNTV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you.
Mm-hmm.
But he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy. But I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is that you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope. And God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFN TV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time.
Paul was killing the church. Mm-hmm. You know, his name was Saul before he was Paul, the Apostle Paul. And he was having the church stoned. He was arresting them. He was persecuting the church. And how many people would have said, well, there's no way. I mean, that person is just can't be used. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was so against the church and against the body of Christ that when he did get saved, he was on his way, on his high horse, going to, you know, Damascus to persecute Christians. Mm-hmm. And Jesus knocks him off his high horse. A big bright light shows up. It just glazes over his eyes. You know, it dries out his eyes like fish scales. It's so bright. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure he's thinking, this is probably not good. I mean, this is before bright headlights or halogen lights on any other horse.
Yeah, right.
This is like they're not the kind of light around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he falls to the ground, and this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, Paul, or Saul, oh. Saul, why are you persecuting me? You see, to speak against the body of Christ in a wrong way is to speak against Jesus. That's why we're for the whole body,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we're not for the spirit that says that it's against the words of God. And he said, I think I messed up, Jesus. But he was so dedicated towards bringing destruction to the church when Ananias was sent to the house to go pray for, you know, Saul. Ananias is going, hello,
mm-hmm.
don't you know who this man is? Mm-hmm. Don't you understand who he is? I mean, he's been trying to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
He's been trying to kill church. He was on his way. He had his whole crew heading our way to kill us. Right?
Yeah.
Had a letter from the high dude in the high church. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord says, shut up and do what I told you to. No, he just said, go ahead, pray for him. He shows up, there he is, just like God said, blind. Prayed for him and said, let me show you some, the Lord's going to show you some things that you must suffer for him, and changed his name from Saul to Paul.
Mm.
But see, they were scared of, I mean, listen, God, you could take the, you, believe God to win the most horrific dude in your community, the most wildest woman in your community, because they're the ones that are going to do some awesome things mm-hmm. for God. They're not going to be this religious mindset trying to worry about what the hair looks like while they're going for God, or, you know, they're perfectly ironed clothes and stuff that we're talking about in the first part of this hour, or what Pharisees think about them. It reminds me to think about one of the men that Steve Hill, with Steve Hill's ministry, Together in the Harvest, had won to the Lord, and he was like a Hell's Angel type dude.
Mm.
And he was in the bathroom with other people in the commercial bathroom or whatever, and they're using the restroom, washing their hands, or what, he's washing his hands, and some man comes in there and begins to cuss God's name. I mean, it just got all over this tough dude who loves Jesus. I mean, you're talking about my Jesus here.
Yeah.
And so he said, you better knock it off. If you don't knock this off, he says, I'm gonna put your head in that toilet. You don't talk about my Jesus like that.
Mm.
Yeah, he wasn't worried about anything, was he? And of course, a few moments later, Steve was saying, can't do this. Get his head out the water. You know, they're not worried about that. They're just like, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And that's how Saul was, which became Paul. He was willing to go into a city. Oh, my goodness. There's so many excuses in the body of Christ. And the most of them is about convenience, comfort, and money.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul was so radical that he could walk into a city like Ephesus when there's nothing but demonic worship, you know, idol making Diana things going on, a big huge port city, big metropolis type city that we would think of today. And he began to believe God, that God could move in that city. He was the first one to show up in that city, Ephesus, and began to just explode with the truth of God. One man, one city, totally dark, he carried the light. Why? Because he was a man that just needed to be touched by God. Yeah, he was a wild man, but you understand, God used that wildness.
Mm-hmm.
He loved God, and he was willing to say, I am all yours. I mean, he was willing to suffer. I mean, when a word came out that said that, whoever has this belt is going to be bound in Rome, he's like, psh.
Yeah.
He's like, hello, I have no problem suffering
for
God.
That's why I'm going.
That's why I'm going. You just got tapped into what I already know already.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go, oh, my goodness, I must not go because I will get less of a paycheck. Oh my goodness, my union might fire me. Are you serious? My wife won't let me go. Oh my goodness. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what are you doing? My children, they're in the 10th point 8th grade, and I just don't want to remove them from this wonderful godly education system of America to go obey the Lord and move into a city to be able to plant the church.
Right.
Are you serious? Come on. I'm not talking about just maverick, wild, and rebellious. I'm talking about so wild and so radical that you do what God says, and you're totally out of the fear of God, submitted to his love and leadership in your life. Listen, you can win cities for God. We're looking for men and women who are break loose from the religious, pharisaical, sadduceical mindsets, the religious bondage of our nation that'll say, you know what? I believe God. Everything that God says I can do and he can do through me can happen. The book of Acts is not a history book. It's an operations manual. This is how the church is supposed to act. This is what God does. I mean, either God is God or he's not.
All right.
I mean, you need to ask this question to yourself. Either God is God or he's not. And he is God. Mm-hmm. Either God can or he can't. You got to ask yourself, by the way, he can. But if you don't have the right answers to these two questions, you're going to be held captive.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, God loves you, no matter where you are in this equation. But understand, we're looking for a few who will stand up like Paul, who will stand up like Peter, who will stand up like James, who will stand up like Billy Graham, who will stand up like Amy Sybil McPherson, who will stand up like John Paul Jackson, or stand up like Steve Hill, or stand up like John Kilpatrick, stand up like Michael Brown. Who in this generation is going to stand up like a Pat Robinson, or stand up and say, you know what? All this crew has served their generation well, but where are you to serve this generation? We're looking for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for you. You're going to have to bust out. There's a birthing process, and you can't do it alone. But listen, we're looking for you. Maybe you're called to be a part of Gideon's army. I mean, think about Gideon's army. What are the qualifications? The weakest and least likely.
That's right.
Check.
check.
The things that are not to nullify the things that are.
That's right.
Check. Think about it. The weak things of the world to shame the strong.
Check.
What does one weak man say to another weak man? Let's pray. If you don't have that let's pray mindset, you don't realize how weak you are yet.
That's right. Absolutely.
That's so funny, Pat and I'll look at each other and just stare. Nothing's happening over here. You got an answer coming? No, we need to pray. And God comes through. It's amazing, isn't it?
Every time.
Which confirms check. I mean, think about it. Like right now, as we're speaking, a former Marine, if there is a former Marine, once a Marine, always a Marine,
mm-hmm.
Stephen Kalaszewski, who served 2 tours of duty in Iraq. He defended us. He fought for us. He laid down with his brothers his freedom to go fight for our freedom for a time in the United States Marine Corps. And now he comes back and he begins to wonder what life's about, and he cries out to God, and God meets him. You can go to the VFN Torch and hear his testimony. Marine encounters God. It was a powerful Saul-like transformation as he cried out to God, and God showed up so powerfully that he had to pause for a moment and think, oh, he's real now? I feel him, and I don't know what to say.
Yeah, right.
Hello? Is that you, God? And he went through the process because he knew that I needed to get rightly related, and I needed to get connected, and I needed to be discipled. I needed to know the ways of Jesus. And then I want to be trained up and go through VFNU, and I want to have family around me because we're called to be family and fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters. And he decides to join Gideon's army. And today, as we speak, today, because he responded to the call that I'm talking to you about right now,
mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, is about to be blessed.
That's right.
Why? Because he's being the first. Mm-hmm. He's the first to carry what this generation's going to do for God. Listen, what you're seeing primarily in America is what the past generation has done, and that is so cool, and it is God. You need to honor that.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, there's a new wind blowing across this nation. Everything that's been before is coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And be frank with you, a lot of people just need to let go and let God.
Right.
As Chuck Pierce said, that we're being held captive because we won't let go of what God's wanting to take control of in his church,
mm-hmm.
the government of the church. And because Steve listened, because he said, yes, here I am, God, send me. I mean, he was willing to go and fight for your freedom, and now he's willing to fight for the freedom of those in Pittsburgh. He's going to plant a church in Pittsburgh to tell them about the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
He's already gone and spied out the land. You got to hear it. You got to hear the stories of what God's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so exciting. It's not about what religion's made it out to be. Listen, I mean, Easter is so important about what happened that day, but listen, it's more than an Easter play. Every single day of your life should be filled with great excitement and expectation and abiding with him and launching out and going into new cities. I mean, you're going to spend eternity either regretting not doing this or dreading what you did instead or celebrating gratitude thinking, I'm so glad I did not waste one moment of that because this life is so short.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have all of eternity to think about it. And nothing truly satisfies, you know it is, other than obeying God, living in God's presence. We're created for his presence. We were made to love him. And loving him is obeying him.
All right.
But he empowers us to be even to love him and to go this out. So here he is, this Marine, now he's in Gideon's army, headed to Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Big old U-Haul truck, car being pulled behind it. To plant a church. Why? Because he's like Paul. He's like Paul. He said, here I am, right? Like Isaiah, sorry. Send me. I believe, God, that you can win Pittsburgh, that you love the people of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And you want me to tell them that you love them and you have a plan for your life and you want me to preach your kingdom to them one by one, and you want me to begin to connect and relate, and those that believe, you want me to baptize them in the three rivers,
mm-hmm.
and disciple them. What do you believe in God for? Another car?
Mm.
Another raise? A bigger cable package?
Mm-hmm.
A third relationship? Really, come on. Think about it. Live life on the edge of obeying God. This generation needs leaders. Listen, Gideon's army's qualifications, read about Gideon. Gideon was sitting in a wine press, eking out a living because everybody, the entire nation, was under great oppression. Welcome to the future.
Mm.
And an angel shows up and sees him. He was hiding in the wine press because the Midianites would come in, and that name means strife,
mm-hmm.
would come in, and they, every time they would get something going, they would steal it and stomp on it and take their stuff and things, and people were hiding in caves and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And God was about to move powerfully. I mean, it looked like it was just terrible. How could this be? How could God about to move? And Gideon is hiding. He's not in a wine press because it's a good place to work. He's there because so the Midianites won't see him working so he can get some wheat for his family to go feed them.
Mm-hmm.
And then God sends a messenger, and I really believe right now you're hearing me, I'm your messenger. And he looks at Gideon, the weakest and the least likely. Mm-hmm. He's hiding from the oppression. He can out 11, and he says, "Mighty man of valor." Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about it. Who is this man?
Right.
That's basically what he's saying. Is like, listen, I don't want to hear any more about this old time religion. I don't want to hear historically what happened in your generation. The question I have for you, what's going to happen in our generation?
Right.
What happened in your generation does me no good. It saves no one in this generation. Who's going to rise up? Who's going to be the Gideon in this generation? Who's going to obey the plans of God? Who's going to say, I know what you did, and I know it worked in your generation, but now more people are leaving God than coming to him. Everything's upside down in the church.
Right.
There's great stress and oppression. Gross darkness is covering the face of the earth. And you're eking out 11. And I'm saying, mighty man of valor. Mighty woman of virtue. Mm-hmm. We can do this. The same God of past generations is still God today. We've been looking for you. But listen, there's very few Marines, not a lot of Marines. They call them the tip of the spear. When they sign their papers to get in, they say, listen, you know, I'm going to lay down my life. I'm willing to lay down my life for this cause. That's what they say. And what an awesome thing. That's why you admire Marines, what they're willing to do. The tip of the spear for our freedom.
Right.
And all of our military forces. But you know what? When you join the army of God, the spiritual army of God, not physical army. When you join this army of God, you got to sign the papers. I mean, if you've tried to join the army of God and you haven't signed these papers, you're whining a lot. Because you find out every day your life's being demanded from you. Your schedule's being demanded from you. What you want's being demanded from you. It's like a dead man, a dead woman doesn't even complain about it.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's going to cost me this. It's going to cost me that. It's like, you haven't enlisted yet. Or you didn't read the small print.
Right.
And it's miserable being tied between two opinions. You got to decide what you're going to do. Is it not important for us to be the Billy Grahams of our generation? Is it not important for us to be the Coach McCartneys of our generation? I mean, who's going to do it? Who is going to be the man? Who's going to be the woman? Listen, break all that stuff. Mindsets are saying that you got to be attached to what was. It's time to be attached to what is. God is doing a new thing. You will not be able to even imagine what God's about to do on the earth. He's about to do something so powerful. There's going to be a wave, a tidal wave of awesomeness. Yes, it's going to be the best of times and the worst of times, but it's going to be the best of times for the church. The church is going to rise to its occasion. Whether America stands or falls, the church is going to rise to its most awesome harvest it's ever seen. But the question is, are you going to join the ranks? Quit blaming everybody. It's your choice. It sounded good when you blamed everybody for not enlisting in the army, but the truth is, it's your choice. Are you going to be the ones who write about what happened because you go with Jesus? Or are you going to be the ones that read about what happened because you got to wait for them to send you the book because you chose not to go with them?
Right.
Some people write about it, and most people read about it. We're looking for a few good, humble, willing Sauls.
Yeah.
That understands we need God. And read Judges chapter 7. You can see it was a journey mm-hmm. for Gideon.
Yeah.
But it started with, okay, I'll do it. What's so cool about this is we've been preparing for you for a long time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We've been digging trenches. We've been laying foundation. The apostolic foundation has been laid. And so we've put these things together for what took us a season of sowing and harvesting and learning and hearing and precept upon precept. I mean, I go back and I look and and Vine Fellowship Network University. I go back to see some of these revelations that God has given us that's waiting for you to taste and see this good. And I'm amazed because it's been like one continual prophetic word utterance that just continued to come and come and come and come. It's not what religion has made it out to be. I stand amazed because you understand prophecy is the person who's prophesying. They're not that word. God is using them to speak that word out, and they can end up taking notes on themselves because you're thinking, oh my goodness, that didn't come from me. That can't. God's doing something. Mm-hmm. He's doing something. And I look back and say, my goodness. But the question is, are you going to turn to politics? Are you going to turn to God? Are you going to turn to religion? Are you going to turn to a relationship? Are you going to join the army of God and say, you know what? I want to be that person this generation. This generation is worth giving my life for. God gave his life for me, his son's life for me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give my life for him. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to love God. He says, no greater love hath a man than he lay down his life for his friend. Everybody wants to keep it. I say, really? Mm-hmm. Lay it down. Lay it down. If that's you, if that's you this morning, we've been waiting for you. We've been waiting for you. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org, and check out. It's happening. You can go to greglancasterministries.org, and you can see everything that's happening in the context of that. God's doing many things across the earth, and this is just one of the things that he's doing. But if I'm talking to you and you're listening to me, nothing happens by accident. Mm-mm. It's time to respond. We're looking for a few good men. Actually, a few humble men, because the only one is good is God. He just wants his goodness to come through you. Find out more at greglancasterministries.org.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com.
I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to vfntv.com, or you can go to facebook.com/vfntv. It's easier to go to vfntv and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook. Mm-hmm. We got a Facebook, and it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFN TV app, that's at vfntv.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that's being filled all around the world, and now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you. And if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So mm-hmm. You can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the Wisdom Moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to vfntv.com and click on our Facebook, or at vfnfacebook.com/VFNTV. But I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supply. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. and God's bringing people to himself, and you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out, and people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation. That stand with us prayerfully and financially. To just partner on a monthly basis. To financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
I need you guys to pray for me. I want you to know that I have started an exercise program.
You?
Yes, I have.
Like an organized program.
You know,
like
I want to be in shape. I want to be in shape. I want to be ready for what the Lord has in store. And I want to get, you know, get all just in shape, you know, toned up.
A-shape.
I'm A-shape now.
Another shape. Either way.
So this what I'm doing. Right. What I'm doing is I actually went around the block several times today.
Really?
Several times. I just got out there and I just went around the block real, real fast. And you're going to be surprised at this.
Wait, question. Were you walking or were you driving?
Well, you know, I wasn't driving.
Okay.
I was rapid movement. Okay. And I was going around real, real fast. And you're going to be surprised that I didn't even break a sweat, not even once. Now, three times around the block.
Wow.
And I was moving. You heard the speed of light. I mean, I not that fast, but I was moving.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I didn't even break a sweat.
Interesting. How do you do that?
Well, very, very simple. I just took a wood block, put it on the floor in the living room, and ran around it three times real fast. And I ran around the block. And, you know, that's the new fitness program. Give me a break. Give me a break.
Really? Really?
Well, listen.
That's the best you could come up with?
Well, look, right now, you need to pray for me, because right now.
Lord, give him a bigger block. I just asked for a bigger block.
I'm staying with my in-laws right now. You know, our home is being prepared for us, and we're having a great time spending time with them, and it's been really great.
Right.
But, you know, I just fall under this conviction. They are, like, healthy people. They're fit people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at my father-in-law, and I just get convicted. He's 68 years old. And he just did, I don't know if you heard about this, it's called a Spartan race. They have like these obstacle races.
Really?
And I guess they have them all over the country. They have them, mm-hmm. I think there's one called Tough Mud or Mudder or something like that. I don't know. You know, as you know, I don't know about these things.
this is obvious.
I don't know about these things, but this is like a 3 mile, I mean.
Who did this?
This is my 68-year-old father-in-law.
Really?
Uh-huh. I mean. Listen, I've got pictures, dude. I've got pictures. I mean, look, he is in the ground, in the dirt.
Where do they do this?
Oh, wow.
They have them all over the world. We're going to have a website up for you at The Torch, but they have them in Vancouver and Quebec and Toronto and just all over the world and all over the country. And they have thousands of people in this open field.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, you know, doing these high ropes and low ropes and getting under in the dirt, man.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe that.
It's intense. He finished.
How long is it?
Finished.
Isn't it like 10 miles or something?
I think it's 3 miles. I think it's
3 miles? Okay.
It's not like no regular. It's a major, major obstacle course. And I'm like, stop bragging. Stop. You know, stop it. Stop. And then, you know, if that doesn't help you, Yeah, my brother-in-law, you know, and his wife, they're like Mr. and Mrs. Fitness.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
There is not...
You're feeling really good.
No, I'm not feeling good. I'm not feeling good.
After he told you about the Spartan race, did you tell him that you ran around your block?
Well, actually, I got the block idea. It was in his house. So I said, I like this. This is a workout that I could do. But, you know, they come around and I'm like, I feel guilty if I eat something. I'm like, guys, there's not an inch of fat on there. I'm like super, super, super shape. They are in incredible shape. They gathered Pensacola Fit Club.
Wow.
They have a website, PensacolaFitClub.com, and you can check those guys out, man. But they are intense in their workout. And let me tell you something. They got some results. They haven't quite gotten me there yet. Not yet. Maybe one day I'll visit. I'm afraid to maybe venture into that intensity. But those guys are doing phenomenal.
You know, I think about like what you're saying as far as running a race. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of race that Paul writes about in running a race towards Christ.
Mm.
And because there's obstacles that are going to come against us, and there's obstacles that are going to come to refine us, but it's just like run our race like we're running for a prize. Just like anyone else would prepare for any race, we're called to run a race for Christ.
Yes. I like that race now. That race I'm running good. Right? Yes. By God's grace.
There you go.
But I have to do the other race too.
Right. So you said those city blocks?
No. Wood blocks. Wood blocks.
Wood blocks.
Well, okay. North, they got bigger blocks.
Yes, but I wasn't running up north. I was, you know, around the wood block. But one day, I mean, then he does this thing where, you know, I don't know what you call it, but he jumps up in the middle, jumps up as high as he can and extends his hands and his legs. I don't know what you call that exercise. It looks like you're
star
flying.
Jumpers.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that right?
Star jumpers.
Wow.
Dude, he's just showing off.
Didn't you used to do that kind of stuff, Steve?
Used to. Yeah. What is...
Like a couple months ago?
Isn't there a subject?
Well, let me tell you something. They're getting fit, and I'm soon.
We're praying
soon,
for you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank
Lord,
you.
Give
thank
them a bigger block.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, they have lettuce and all this good stuff, and I'll eat a hamburger next to them. Said, you want something? They go, no, we don't eat that. Oh, I love these guys. I love them.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.